I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the Service Employees International Union suggests conservatives are trying to cheat on initiatives.
The paper signature structure rewards speed over accuracy and discourages the worker from going into detail about what someone is signing.
But it turns out their members are the cheaters. Plus,
yes, ma'am.
West Coast Democrats are trying to ban ICE agents from getting future employment as police officers. And local girls push back after being forced to not only wrestle against a biological boy, but to share a locker room with biological boys. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. And if you're watching today's show live, make sure to hit like. Like, subscribe, and share. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Holy smokes, we got a lot of good stuff for you on the show this week to wrap up our week of live shows. But I don't know if I've ever been so tickled by something. It really just gave me so much joy when I saw this yesterday. So, of course, we opened our show yesterday by talking about the union thugs from the Washington Education Association and the Service Employees International Union, who are doing everything they can to dismantle the initiative process in Washington State. And they're supporting something right now that's been dubbed the Initiative Killer Bill. And it would do several things. But one of the things that it would do, it would take away paid signature gatherers who are paid per signature as a tool from organizations like Let's Go Washington. And the claim made by these union thugs is that when you pay people per signature, there's more incentive for them to commit fraud.
Paying by the signature rewards speed and volume and creates pressure to cut corners. These reforms reduce documented issues such as misleading tactics and falsified signatures when compensation is tied to volume.
Documented issues, misleading tactics, falsified signatures, that should concern every single one of us. But that woman who's from the WEA was asked by a Republican on the committee if she had evidence or any sort of information on the fraud that she was alleging.
Do you have anything to offer of specific examples? I won't use the word evidence since 2014 that paid per signatures has resulted in a fraudulent signature as you sit here before today.
I'll take the question and say that currently I don't have it handy. I'll make sure to follow up with the committee on behalf of our testimony. Thank you.
Don't have it. I'll make the accusation, but I can't actually tell you what kind of fraud has been perpetrated. Also on that panel was this guy from SEIU.
I'm a SEIU 925 union organizer supporting public service employees across Washington State. The paper signature structure rewards speed over accuracy and discourages the worker from going into detail about what someone is signing.
This is where this just gets delicious. So you've got SEIU, WEA saying paying per signature leads to fraud. It's a whole ordeal. So you can pay people, but you just got to pay them a daily rate or an hourly rate. So they're not incentivized to write fake signatures or to do these things. So Brian Haywood, who is the founder of Let's Go Washington, pushing all these initiatives that they're trying to fight back against, he posted this on X. Enjoy. Yesterday, I sat and listened to the SEIU testify that we must absolutely change the initiative process to prevent fraud. Interesting, they should be so concerned about fraud. The only significant case of fraud in the initiative process over the past 20 years actually involved SEIU in 2008. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, here is an article from the Spokesman Review in 2008. Allow me to read it for you. King County will prosecute a state worker for signature fraud in a case involving at least 19 phony signatures on Initiative 1089, the income tax proposal. Claudia McKinney, a member of SEIU, who was paid by the union for the time she took off work to gather signatures, is being charged with forging other people's signatures on some of the petitions she turned in. Elections workers doing random checks of petitions found several signatures that didn't match and others for people who weren't registered voters on petitions McKinney submitted. All of the petitions she turned in were then pulled from the piles, and about 300 of the 349 signatures she submitted were questioned. A Washington State Patrol investigation contacted 19 of the people who said the signature on the petition wasn't theirs. So again, here is this SEIU guy at the hearing talking about how we cannot allow people to be paid per signature because it could lead to fraud. So instead, we need to pay them hourly.
By allowing hourly, daily, salaried, or contracted pay instead of piece rate pressure.
So, pay per signature, bad, fraud. Pay hourly, pay daily, good. That can avoid fraud. Now, you might be asking yourself, okay, well, in 2008, was this SEIU worker paid per signature? And that's why she allegedly falsified 19 or more signatures? Or was she paid hourly or paid daily? Because that really is the crux of the issue here. Well, let me read that for you, too. An attorney for SEIU told the State Patrol that McKinney was not paid by the signature, but was among union members who were paid out of a union fund for the time they took off work to gather signatures. So not only is SEIU accusing Republicans of doing initiatives in a way that could lead to fraud and then having no evidence of it, but the only evidence that can be found at all of the kind of fraud that they're talking about involved an SEIU employee, and it involved an SEIU employee who wasn't even being paid per signature. They were being paid for the time they spent out there collecting signatures, regardless of how many signatures they brought forth. But of course, they cheated, because why? The SEIU wanted the income tax proposal at the time. And so this SEIU minion decided that she was going to go out, collect some signatures, but then forge other signatures. So SEIU guy, again, what's this guy's name? What's his deal?
I'm a SEIU 925 union organizer supporting public service employees across Washington State. The paper signature structure rewards speed over accuracy and discourages the worker from going into detail about what someone is signing.
Yeah, maybe if you're so worried about fraud, you should look at your own members. The most epic self-own of all time. Now, I also want to talk a little bit more about the types of people who are showing up to try to kill the initiative process. And we talked about one of them yesterday, this WEA guy.
Good afternoon, Chair and members of the committee. My name is DJ Breimer. I live here in Olympia. I'm a science teacher at Tumwater Middle School, and I'm also the Tumwater Education Association president.
So there's a lot of motivations here that you have to consider. There's the obvious union motivation. He's a member of the Washington Education Association, and big government is good for them. Big government is good for their members. And so a lot of the initiatives, they're being pushed mainly by conservatives, involve lowering taxes, et cetera, giving parents their rights in education. And so anything like that, he's going to be opposed to as a member of the WEA. But also, he is obsessed with radical gender ideology. And the two initiatives that are running right now have to do with radical gender ideology. One, keeping boys out of girls' sports. The other one, of course, has to do with, hey, it's parental rights widely, but also that involves, and one of the concerns is you've got kids going to school and being transed, convinced they're trans by teachers, and then the teachers all keep the secret from the parents. So of course this guy now has two motivations, and it's important to recognize that. The WEA motivation, which is financial, and then the ideological motivation. The initiatives being run are largely being run by conservatives. They're starting to run initiatives on things that challenge radical gender ideology. And as someone who's literally obsessed with that, he can't allow that to happen. We were pointed out to another individual with the Washington Education Association who also testified in favor of the initiative killer bill. It's a woman named, it's a person. I don't know the gender identity. I don't want to offend anyone. It's an individual named Lauren Dandridge.
My name is Lauren Dandridge. I live and vote in the 46th District and serve as president of the North Shore Education Association. This encourages genuine grassroots organizing and allows educators like me to focus on initiatives that are likely to reach voters rather than dozens of hypotheticals.
Can you play that one more time? Because she tells on herself about what the actual motivation is at the end of that.
My name is Lauren Dandridge. I live and vote in the 46th District and serve as president of the North Shore Education Association. This encourages genuine grassroots organizing and allows educators like me to focus on initiatives that are likely to reach voters rather than dozens of hypotheticals.
It allows educators to focus on the initiatives we like and allows conservatives to just go away and shut up and take it. Whatever happens, just take it. It just totally tells on herself. But again, so she's got the WEA and they've got their scarves on, the Washington. If anyone can scalp me one of those. So we got these spies everywhere, right, with the WEA and parents and stuff. And they always bring me goodies. I have some sign here, something, I don't remember where I put it. Bring me goodies from these meetings and all this stuff. And if you can get me a Washington Education Association scarf, oh my gosh, I'd be thrilled with that. But anyway, so she's got the WEA angle. But again, these are people who are obsessed with pushing their ideology on kids. And remember, we had a leaker who recorded a WEA meeting. It was a strategy meeting where they were going through how to defeat specifically the initiative to protect girls' sports. Lauren Dandridge was one of the people in the clips we played that say that it's denying biological reality to suggest that boys can't become girls.
My degrees are in biology and gender studies, and I read that and I have a lot of red flags going up about how you would actually operationalize that even if it were, you know, a reasonable thing to be doing to begin with.
Yeah, so she was, first of all, if anybody tells me gender studies is their major, I automatically tune out. It's like an automatic function of my brain. Gender studies, tune out. But biology and gender studies. And she's on this meeting questioning, how can you actually prove that someone's a boy? Genetic testing won't do it anymore. I mean, so that's the insane ideology, like total non-scientific nonsense that these people believe in. And those are the people who are showing up to fight against your right, your constitutionally protected right, to run initiatives on issues you care about. So let's be honest about what's going on here. It's not just about money. It's that is not the only reason they're trying to defeat these initiatives. It's about money, power, and control over your kids. It's about pushing their ideology on the populace and not being challenged in any form or fashion. So, gosh, just insane. And a reminder, we're going to be down in Olympia on the steps of the Capitol, February 3rd, 2:30 p.m. I know it's a weekday. I know it's in the middle of the day, but we got to go there at a time when the lawmakers are there, because we're going to rally with Let's Go Washington, with athletes, with parents, and we're going to tell lawmakers that we want, at least at the very least, hearings on the two Let's Go Washington initiatives. So please join me Tuesday, February 3rd, 2:30 p.m. It's likely on that day we're still going to do an episode, but we'll do it a little bit early. It's probably going to be a 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. episode. We'll keep you up to date so we can get down there in time. All right, the doozies keep coming. I'm telling you, the whole show is jam-packed today with good stuff. We couldn't even choose. Nicole, we might have to extend the show to 2 hours permanently. She just gave me a look like, absolutely not. Because, man, we already go 90 minutes almost every day. And there's so much good stuff. She gave me the look of death, though, so I guess not. All right, this is crazy. So Tara Simmons, you probably know about her. She is the first formerly incarcerated person elected to the state house in Olympia. She's a felon. She had, like, drug charges and stuff, and she went to prison for it. And I have always said about Tara Simmons that anyone who can turn their life around in a meaningful way, I'm A plus. Like, why would I not celebrate that? Why would I not celebrate someone who, you know, got into some rough stuff, got in trouble, paid their due to society, and then came out and decided they want to turn their life around? I've never had an issue with that. The issue I have with Tara Simmons is when she got elected to the state house, she went in there like a bulldozer, almost singularly focused on helping criminals in ways that went above and beyond just helping reduce recidivism and helping people fold back into society. It became about reducing punishments for criminals. It became about reducing potential sentences that people could face for things like committing a deadly drive-by shooting. So it just became unhinged. And this is the latest in her unhinged proposals. So she has introduced what she's calling the ICE Out Act of 2026, House Bill 2641. Here's what it would do. It would prohibit all Washington state law enforcement agencies from hiring anyone who was hired as a sworn officer of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Think about that. After January 20th, 2025. So if you plan to work as an ICE agent for Donald Trump, this bill says no law enforcement agency in the state of Washington can then go on to hire you. She says In this Washington, we have worked incredibly hard to build trust between law enforcement and community. In most Washington agencies, the men and women who step up to serve have developed a culture of holding each other accountable to the highest professional standards. The last thing we need is infiltration of ICE agents trained during the Trump administration to send us backward. Now, there are a ton of things wrong with this. I don't even know if that's legal. I don't even know if that's lawful, right? But of course, there's the hypocrisy of it. So you have this woman who is a former felon because she got her record cleared, good for her, but who has advocated for convicted felons of all stripes to be able to be hireable. This is what she has spent most of her time post-incarceration doing, is saying you shouldn't be judged by your past. So what? You raped someone. So what? You were a gang member and committed a drive-by shooting. Employers shouldn't be able to look at that and deem you unhireable. I shit you not, guys. I shit you not. So she's, hire anyone, attempted murderers, pedophiles, whatever it is. We want to wipe their record clean and let them have a fresh start. Not for ICE agents, though. Not for ICE agents. At a time when Washington State is in desperate need of more law enforcement officers, has the lowest number of law enforcement officers per capita in the entire nation, they're saying, we'll take all the felons. We'll help you find employment. But ICE agents under Donald Trump? No thanks. And Washington isn't the only state where this is happening. Eric Swalwell, who is running as a Democrat for governor of California, says that if he's elected, not only will they do this for law enforcement agencies in California, but across state government in its entirety.
As governor, I'll use my emergency powers and I'll tell every state agency, we are not, as a policy, hiring ICE agents. Because right now, these guys doing this work, it's a decision. No one's holding a gun and saying you have to work for ICE. And so when I'm governor, if you're still working for ICE, you haven't got the message that no one's asking you to do this, you won't be hired in the state. And it's part of an approach that says, either we can be on our heels as the most vulnerable in our community, or we can make them react and go on offense. And so I can't take on any other crisis until I do that first part of the job, which is, you know, to be a fighter protector for Californians.
These people are nuts. And I pray to God he doesn't have a chance of winning, because I don't think that I could listen to him or look at him for all those years. I mean, it's just, isn't he the one? Isn't that Fang Fangs? I'm sorry. Isn't that the one who like had sex with a Chinese spy? Isn't it?
Yes.
I think it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sorry, like, I don't know if you're one to really comment on bad behavior, but also, ICE agents aren't a new thing. ICE agents aren't a new thing. These same ICE agents, many of them, deported people under Biden, deported people under Obama. The difference is they didn't have loony leftists following them around with cell phones screaming at them and recording them doing their jobs. And we have a story coming up later about all the misinformation out there. But one, I don't know if it's legal. Two, totally performative nonsense. And in states that are both struggling to keep law enforcement officers, frankly, you know, you should take anyone who wants the job at this point. Absolutely. I hope that's actually Fang Fang's boyfriend, because if not, I've slandered him. I'll have to Google that in a break. First, I don't know. All those California Democrats look the same. Our friends at Valentine Roofing have just been awarded the best roofing company in the Pacific Northwest for 3 years in a row. And right now is a really good time of year because of the cold weather to evaluate whether your roof and maybe attic insulation are causing your furnace to work overtime. 25% of your home's heat is lost through your attic. So, you know, if you say maybe you need some new attic insulation or a new roof right now, if you bundle both of those things, you can save 10% off the entire project. And Valentine has exceptional financing options built around your budget. So they can help you out, ranging from zero down, 0% interest. So I know it can be a big expense to get a new roof, but you know, as a homeowner, sometimes you just gotta suck it up. But you can work with a great company that can be flexible to your budget. So lock in your winter bundle savings. Call 206 Roofing. Again, call 206 Roofing, and please tell them that you heard about them right here on Undivided. And remember, when you see the red Valentine vans, you know that your home is in good hands. So we have been working on this behind the scenes for probably like a month or so now. And I'll tell you that we'll have follow-ups to this next week, but I felt like it was really important to get part of this on the show today. So of course, I have become obsessed with what does Bob say? Obsessed with, he says I'm obsessed with trans kids. No, I've become obsessed with the truth around radical gender ideology and trying to make sure that girls aren't forced into spaces with boys. Common sense, most Americans agree with me, but somehow we're painted as the radicals for saying just what is true. So we got an email about a month ago from a wrestling coach at a different school who was concerned that his team and his girls were competing against a team, Emerald Ridge High School in Puyallup, that had on it, a girls' wrestling team, a biological boy. Now, I know some of you will disagree with my decision-making here, but I've blurred out the name of this biological boy and a picture that I got of this biological boy. 190 pounds, so one of the larger weight classes for girls. And they're on the girls' roster. It's not a girl. Biological boy. And I know you guys will disagree with my decision to do this, but to me, you can never make it about the kids. And I just really firmly believe that. I don't think I'll ever change my mind on that. And so unless they decide to like do news interviews and sort of talk about their own story, this has to be about policy and not about kids. But this is in and of itself. So we were tipped off to this and trying to kind of get to the bottom of it and had sent some emails to the school. We didn't really get responses. There's this base level issue of really wrestling. Girls having to either forfeit or literally wrestle on a mat with a boy. Have you ever watched a wrestling match? You grab all sorts of places. It's sort of anything goes. And I'm not saying that this biological boy isn't doing it to intentionally be able to touch, you know, girls on the mat. I'm not saying that. But can you imagine how uncomfortable that is for a young woman? Come on, you guys. You know that. Out of all the sports, wrestling is probably the one where I would say this makes the least sense. And this person's record, boy's record, is 8-3, so pretty good. So that in and of itself is an issue. And we're going to have some follow-ups on the stupidity of allowing a boy to identify as a girl and wrestle girls. However, there's a larger issue happening at Emerald Ridge High School. So there are some female athletes there who are fighting back, not just about the boy on the girls team, but about their feeling and their sense of safety in the locker room. So a little background. Apparently there are two biological boys who are using the girls' locker room, one being this wrestler, and we're not sure who the other one is at this point. And it's making the girls uncomfortable. They're teenage girls. Did you want to share a locker room with a boy when you were a teenage girl? Of course not. So a couple of these girls had reached out to the athletic department and to the principal and just said, we're not comfortable with this. What can be done? And to the school's credit, and we have an email here that was sent to a parent from Emerald Ridge High School principal Ed Crow. There was an agreement made. He said, good afternoon. We have spoken to the two girls in question. They're not girls, they're boys. So I'm just going to fix that for him. We have spoken to the two boys in question. They have agreed to utilize a different changing space for their practices. The goal is for this change to take place starting tomorrow, but it is possible it could take an extra day as we work through the details on our end. If there is a change in this plan for any reason, we can work with your child and any other girls who express concerns on options moving forward. So that could have been great. So this was back in December. Couple girls, not comfortable. They go to the school. The school says, all right, we talked to the two biological boys, and they're going to agree to use a separate changing space for their practices. And I think if it ended there, that's great. It lasted one day. According to our source, it lasted one day with the boys changing in a separate area. And then they're back in the girls' locker room. So now more girls are upset. They feel like they were lied to. They feel like they're never going to be able to escape this situation. And they're just going to have to get used to and accept that they have to be in a changing space and a showering space and a bathroom space with boys. So 13 girls asked for a meeting with the principal and vice principal. And that meeting happened recently. And they went into the meeting feeling very positive, thinking, okay, we're going to have our voices heard. Here's what they were given during the meeting. They were handed packets of paper with the Washington Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction's gender-inclusive policies on it. And then they were handed this stupid little graphic that looks like it's something you'd give a third grader core identity concepts: gender expression, sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex. Yeah, they're high school girls. They get it. They understand the whole trans thing and claims and all of that has nothing to do and does not make them feel better about having to be in a locker room with boys. And that was the extent of the meeting. It's like, ah, we understand you feel this way, but they believe they're girls. Our hands are tied. And to be fair to Puyallup, their hands are tied. And I'm actually surprised in that first email that the principal even approached, if that's how it happened, these two boys to ask them to change in a different place, because I actually do think that's probably in violation of OSPI policies. But if the boys agreed to for a day, then that's their right to do it. But apparently that didn't stick. And so now the school is essentially throwing its hand up and telling these 13 girls who are in this meeting, well, here is some paperwork about the superintendent of public instruction's policies on gender inclusivity and safe and non-discriminatory environments. And then here's some clip art of a human body with a heart in the middle that explains core identity concepts. As if that does anything for these girls. This is the stupidest conversation that we have to continue to have. It is truly the dumbest. And when this whole thing is done, when we get to escape from it, whether it's through the voter initiative from Let's Go Washington that we're going to vote on in November, whether it's through a United States Supreme Court ruling, or whether it's because Democrats keep losing so many presidential elections that they decide that they can't stick to this issue anymore, and we all of a sudden see the light of day, I will never let a single one of those Democrats forget. They either condoned this, they pushed this, or they stayed silent during this. Because it's one of the dumbest things in human freaking history. So we are not going to let this story go. We're going to do another round of emails reaching out for comment on this. And I get it. I don't even necessarily blame this principal or Emerald Ridge High School. They are bound by OSPI and the state of Washington and WIAA, and I don't know if there's any way around this for them. But to hand these girls a stack of paper, you think they don't already know that Washington State allows boys to pretend they're girls and compete with girls? They know. They're not happy with it, and they want to feel heard. They want someone to freaking hear them. Governor Ferguson won't meet with them. Francis Stout and Annalee Wilson have already tried. Nick Brown won't meet with them. They've already tried. Chris Reichdahl, the head of the public school system, won't meet with them. They'll talk a lot about trans rights and respecting trans kids and trans athletes, but they won't even meet or take a phone call or a Zoom meeting with a female athlete, the female athletes that far outnumber the trans athletes, and at least hear them out about how this is impacting their lives. It's absurd. All right, I have been meaning to talk about this story all week, and we just didn't, I guess. And I told Nicole yesterday, I said, you know, I really want to talk about that Keith Swank story. We should put that on the show. And so I haven't been avoiding it. We just didn't have it on. And I'm sure I got a lot of emails from people saying, why haven't you talked about this? Why haven't you talked about this? So there is this bill, Senate Bill 5974. And it's another attempt that is brought over from last year. So Senate Bill 5974 would basically mess with elected sheriffs. This is what this is. I'm not even going to read you the jargon. This is Democrats basically saying, we're going to put all these stipulations on who can even be an elected sheriff. And if an elected sheriff acts in a way that we don't like, we're going to kick him out of office. That's what this is. They want all sheriffs to be appointed because Democrats control everything. And what are Democrats trying to do? They're trying to wokeify police departments. They've been trying to do it in earnest since 2020. So they want Democrats running sheriff's departments. And you'll notice the only sheriffs who support this policy are what? Democrats. And they know, well, I'll keep my job because the Democrats will appoint me. They don't want these constitutional sheriffs. They don't even want tough on crime sheriffs. They want puppets to run all police agencies. And in police departments, they're appointed by a mayor. So you've got mayors that have control over the police chiefs. But then they look over here and they say, but the sheriffs, we don't control them. We need to control them. So short of having every single sheriff appointed, which is what they want to move toward, they're trying to make it so that we can only have elected sheriffs that are in our image. and we will make it easier to remove a duly elected sheriff from office if we don't like what they're doing. So there was testimony on this, and Pierce County elected sheriff Keith Swank caused quite the stir with his testimony. We'll play for it as in full. We'll play for it for you in full.
My colleagues naively believe that they can come here and reason with you. They don't understand what's at stake here. They don't understand you like I do. You're going to pass this qualification bill for law enforcement, but you won't hold yourselves accountable. Therefore, I propose everyone who runs for an elected office go through a background check, a social media review, a polygraph, a psychological test. But Democrats, you won't agree to that because you have convicted felons who are elected officials here. I represent almost a million people, more than all of you combined here. Many more people. I wasn't elected chief of police. Being sheriff of Pierce County is much more than police work. Citizens reach out to me all the time regarding overreach of the government by you. Some say they finally have a voice because of me, and you want to silence it because I said transgender women are men. I said the truth. You want to give unelected bureaucracy the ability to decertify me and remove me from office because you don't agree with my speech. Just for the record, my deputies don't wear masks, but once you pass this law that they can't, I will not only allow them, but I will encourage them to do so just to see what you do. I don't recognize your authority to impose these controls over me, and when you try to remove me from office, thousands of Pierce County residents will surround the county city building in downtown Tacoma and will not allow that to happen. I hope it doesn't come to that, but I and they are prepared. Are you prepared? Finally, anyone who votes for this will never have an audience with this sheriff.
Okay. So then he gets up and walks away, and Monka Dinger is like, you need to state your name for the record, as if they didn't know who it already was. So he caused quite a flurry with that. And a lot of it centered around those statements at the end that if you vote, you know, if this happens and you try to remove me, thousands of citizens will surround the building and stop you from doing so. And people were saying, oh, that sounds like a threat to the elected leaders. Now, a little bit of context here. I've never particularly cared for Keith Swank. And I don't think he likes me either. He talked a lot of smack about me on social media because apparently I'm not pure enough conservative. So kind of one of those types. He's a little intense for my liking. This is hard for me to say, and I think I'm going to get some flack from this. I agree with him. I agree with his first point that there are other sheriffs and police chiefs who think they can go down to Olympia and play nice with Democrats and everything's going to be fine and you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. Not true. When has it ever been fine? That's what I would say. For any of these police agencies who have gone down there and tried to work with Democrats and reason with Democrats, when has that ever worked? Never. They'll still vilify you. They'll still try to put unreasonable restrictions on your profession. They'll try to put your police officers in prison for murder. Bob Ferguson. It's never worked. So I agree with him at the beginning that it makes no sense to go down there and try to play nice and acquiesce to a few things here and there. So maybe they don't do the worst of the worst ideas that they have. They do it anyway. They pass soft on crime policies, reduce punishments for criminals, while they reduce requirements for criminals, while they increase requirements for police. And I believe police need to be held accountable. I do not believe in a police state. But at the same time, when you're saying, oh, we're doing this for the safety of the public, and then you're letting pedophiles out of prison early, you're letting people commit gun crimes out of prison early, and you're doing all these other things, you're just a hypocrite. You just hate the cops. So I agree with that part of his statement wholeheartedly. The other thing is they do want to punish him for his speech. And yeah, one of the things he says, boys aren't girls. Guess what? Boys aren't girls. So you're going to punish him because he says a biological fact and you don't like it? Does he not do his First Amendment rights? As much as sometimes I think his tweets, I think we talked about one of them where he asked a question of should all trans people have their Second Amendment rights taken away? It's like, well, no. So I don't like all his speech either. But did he give up his First Amendment rights when he became the sheriff? I don't think so. And I foresee a scenario, because this is the design of the bill, where they would try to remove someone like him from office. And as he said, he represents more than a million people, more than any of them. And how did he get there? Democracy. He was elected by a majority of voters who cast their ballots in Pierce County. So Democrats might not like him. They might not like his speech, but it clearly didn't bother voters too much. And to his last point that people are taking issue with, and I get it, the way he said it, they say they feel like it's threatening. When he says, if you try to remove me from office, people will rally. They will surround the building and they won't let it happen. Now, I don't condone violence at all. And I don't know if that's what he's suggesting or whatever it is. I'm not inside his brain. But I will tell you this, and I will make you this promise right now. If Democrats in Washington State pass this bill and they try to use it to remove any duly elected sheriff from their position, I will be right outside those buildings with them. Whether I support that sheriff or I don't support that sheriff. And I'm not going to commit any act of violence. But I will be outside, even for Keith Swank. I will be outside that building with the thousands of people. Saying, you're not removing the person that was duly elected to be here. You want to replace him, you can replace him in the next election. What they want to do is tear down democracy whenever democracy doesn't work in their favor. And then they want to turn around and accuse the other side of attacking democracy. It's unreal. And this is coming from someone who's never been a particular fan of Keith Swank, too intense. And again, he's said poor things about me for not being conservative enough. But it doesn't matter the person. It matters the policy that they're trying to push to undermine people's votes. And so you're damn right I'd be there. And I gotta say, and I love, you know, I don't think anybody's been more pro-police than me. And we've had a great relationship with the Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs. They do some difficult work in a difficult political environment. But I didn't like the statement that they put out about this. I would have rather they said nothing. But they put out a statement saying they're going to move to remove Keith Swank from the association. The Washington Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs has grave concerns with this bill. However, the inflammatory comments made by Pierce County Sheriff Keith Swank at a legislative committee hearing do not represent the views or the approach of WASPEC. The scope of his testimony went beyond reasonable dialogue and devolved into what could be perceived as threatening to legislators, and he challenged their constitutional authority. The manner in which he conducted himself was not in line with the professional behavior we expect of members. We know that all public servants are subject to their oaths of office and the rule of law. WASPEC intends to initiate proceedings as required by our bylaws for the board to consider expulsion of Sheriff Swank. Washington's law enforcement leaders want to collaborate with our partners in the legislature. The leaders of Washington's law enforcement agencies stand ready to work with everyone in a way that builds and preserves public trust. And I get them on that point. You know, Sheriff Swank, with those comments, he is alienating not only legislators, but also certainly alienating a big chunk of the population that he was elected to serve, the people who probably didn't vote for him. Do I think it was the best possible language or speech that he could have given and the best possible way that he could have worded it? No. Do I think that it could have been perceived as threatening? I guess. But it doesn't mean he was wrong. And when WASPEC says, we want to work and collaborate with our partners in the legislature, what you have to understand is they do not want to collaborate with you. They do not want to collaborate with you. And it is very rare that they do. And so to Keith Swank's point, the sooner you let that go, and the sooner you decide to fight like hell against all the policies that they're implementing, that's what's best for your members. That's what's best for the sheriff's deputies and the police officers in this state who are putting their lives on the line every day. It's not to pussyfoot and pansy around it. Is to push back against the insane policies that are making their jobs less safe and making our communities less safe. So you can be mad at Keith Swank's words and being a little too aggressive or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, they're going to pass this and they're going to come for your jobs too. You think, and the Association of Sheriffs and Police Chiefs, that if you just don't put out inflammatory comments on X like Keith Swank, that they won't come for your job if they don't like something? Let's say you run against, they always have this, you're an elected sheriff. Republican, let's say, conservative. They always are going to put someone up against you. The Democrats are. That's what happened to Adam Fortney up in Snohomish County. The Democrats put their handpicked candidate up. If she had lost, you don't think they'd use a bill like this to have removed Adam Fortney from his job? Of course they would have. Of course they would have. So you don't have to be Keith Swank for them to come for you. Be a little too hard on crime. God forbid pro-Trump. God forbid, speak out against sanctuary policies and how they make our state more dangerous, they're coming for you. So be careful whose side you take in this fight. Coming up next in our segment, Unbelievable, we'll talk about, I think, good news and bad news. I believe that legislators in Washington state are finally coming to their senses when it comes to protecting kids from fentanyl abusers, with the exception of a few who voted against a proposed bill that had bipartisan support. It's very odd. If you are looking to save some money in your family's budget, take a look at your insurance, because often people set it, forget it, kind of overlook it. But First Mark Insurance can help you find out whether you have the right insurance at the right price. They've done it for so many undivided viewers and listeners. Debbie S. says First Mark is the absolute best. We're 70 years old and would rather gouge out our eyes than shop insurance companies for all our cars, our boat, our house, our ATVs. One-stop shopping with First Mark. Excellent rates and coverage. Anytime we've had a question or had to make a change, it was addressed and dealt with immediately. It is so comforting having them in our corner. Highly recommend it. And I could not agree more. It's why I am personally a member of the First Mark family, and our business is also a member of the First Mark family. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right, I think we're going to do a double dose of Unbelievable today. Wow, we have a lot of content on the show today. Let's get to the first one. Okay, so good and bad. Let's start with the good. So there was a bill and a whole debate last year, we talked about it, about just adding some parity to the law when it comes to child endangerment. So our law hadn't been updated on child endangerment when it came to, you know, illegal substances around kids. And the law treated like having meth around a child different than having fentanyl around a child, which of course makes no sense. And fentanyl is inarguably more dangerous in smaller doses. And so there had been an effort last year to get that fixed, but a lot of Democrats were pushing back against it, and even the chair of the Public Safety Committee. It was really weird stuff. So that was reintroduced this year in gross substitute Senate Bill 5071 on child endangerment. And I always love to see this by strange bedfellows co-sponsoring it, Republican State Senator John Braun and one of his co-sponsors, shock of the century, Democratic State Senator Maka Dingra, who's usually very soft on crime and criminal behavior. So when you got John Braun on a bill and you got Maka Dingra on a bill, I would say that's probably a good bill. It's probably a good bill if you get that much support. And what the bill does is it adds that parity that we talked about. So it adds fentanyl instead of just meth. It says a person is guilty of the crime of endangerment with a controlled substance if the person knowingly or recklessly permits a child or dependent adult to be exposed to, ingest, inhale, absorb, or have contact with fentanyl or synthetic opioids. Simple. Why would you not do that? If you have a law on the books that has meth, why would you not have fentanyl? Well, apparently there's still some people that have an issue with it. So this went to a vote. In fairness, 40 yays, 9 nays. What the hell are the 9 nays doing? What is wrong with you? It is the most bizarre thing to vote no on. So I'm going to name them. And there is at least one on here that really surprises me. So all Democrats, Senators Alvarado, Chapman, Frame, Hasegawa, Kaufman, Nobles, Saldana, Trudeau, and Claire Wilson. Mike Chapman, what the hell is wrong with you? So Mike Chapman is supposed to be one of the moderates. He represents District 24 on the peninsula. He's supposed to be a moderate. He ran as a moderate, and he's had a lot of votes as a moderate. That is not a moderate thing to do, especially when you have most members of your own party and the Republican caucus voting for a very common sense bill, and at a time when we have seen, from the state's own data, a dramatic increase in the number of kids who've died or nearly died from fentanyl exposure. So we've got more kids dying. Fentanyl has far overcome meth as the drug of choice. Times have changed. More kids dying. Why would you not say that, yes, and I know there are some cuckoos on the House side who have pushed back against this. So we'll see what happens there. It's at least cleared this hurdle in the Senate. And there are some Democrats who support this idea of keeping families together. And that's what Roger Goodman said last year. I wish I'd re-pulled up this insane clip from a King 5 interview he did, where it's like, you know, we don't want to punish people for their addiction. There was a case where a girl, a little child died, and they don't want to punish the parent for an addiction. Okay, so the kid gets punished with death? It makes no sense in the world. So I just had to point out, again, I'm going to read the names. If these are any of your senators, I would send them a strongly worded email. Alvarado, Chapman, Frame, Hasegawa, Kaufman, Nobles, Saldana, Trudeau, and Claire Wilson. What in the world are you thinking? The deaths of these kids in our state are absolutely on your hands. Because you know what? The people know that this behavior isn't going to be punished. So why would they not smoke and do fentanyl around kids? It's insane. And with that, let's get to our double dose of unbelievable. Or wait, is this, you know what? Scratch that. Can we do the Seattle Times is trash instead? Seattle Times is absolute trash. And they continue this pattern of trying to scare the hell out of kids over immigration enforcement that isn't actually impacting them. So yesterday we did this story on the fact that six Seattle schools, including elementary schools, were put into a lockdown and a shelter in place because someone maybe reported ICE activity in the area. And this was the same day that some schools were doing walkouts. Students were doing walkouts to protest ICE. But then, of course, the news came out and the Seattle Police Department confirmed we had no credible reports that ICE was in the area. So I don't know. I tend to think it was some cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs person who wanted to create a problem and act like these kids were in danger from ICE. And so they called in a fake report. Something happened, but six schools on lockdown, shelter in place, because of the presence of a alleged, wasn't even true, presence of a federal law enforcement agency, even if ICE had been nearby, conducting lawful immigration efforts. What the hell does that have to do? Do you lock down schools? If somebody, and I get it, if there is like a SWAT sort of response or something, barricaded subject near a school, they go into lockdown for that, 100%. But the difference being, there was nothing confirmed here. We don't even know why this happened. But that doesn't stop the Seattle Times from continuing to use a fake news story and narrative to craft another fake news story and narrative. This is honest to God. It seems like the Bee. It's like the Babylon Bee, but it's not. It's not the Bee. The headline in the Times today: Seattle parents and teachers debrief and decompress after ICE scare. You cannot be serious. Is the Seattle Times not embarrassed of itself by now? Please tell me that there are actually some journalists left at the Times who are embarrassed by this. These are just one. Reach out to us. Seattle parents and teachers debrief and decompress after ICE scare. What ICE scare? It says, at a school board meeting Wednesday night, half a dozen Seattle teachers, parents, and community members shared stories about how the prior day's shelter-in-place orders in response to unconfirmed reports of ICE activity were disruptive and stressful. Yeah, you think? Maybe you shouldn't have done it. Maybe you shouldn't freak kids out upon a rumor that ICE is nearby. Speakers painted a picture of anxiety rising around ICE activity for families and children, saying they still had little clarity about what actually occurred, because nothing occurred. The district also released a statement Wednesday evening confirming school officials, quote, did not observe any ICE presence at or near SPS campuses yesterday. The district monitored conditions throughout the day and remains alert to community concerns. And also keep in mind, the governor of the state yesterday, when this was happening, put out a post calling it disturbing, when literally nothing was happening, and you wonder why it's so disruptive and stressful. So at the meeting, a special education educator, according to the Times, said during public comment with tears in her eyes that most of her students did not come to school Wednesday. First of all, I doubt that's true, but Nicole, I think you pulled the video of this special ed teacher that the Seattle Times references.
We can have the tools to know what legal rights are, but as educators, our job is to show up for our students with their hearts, with their value, with their safety. And safety transcends just being removed from your family. It's how you feel every day that you show up and try and participate in learning. There has not been any type of district curriculum or suggestions of how you could develop conversations with your students. The majority of the students at my school are... Anyway, at the end of the day, I don't want to see my student running down the hallway screaming, "Miss Jella, I don't want to be killed. I don't want to lose my family. We have to do better." And I really hope that we can invest in our students' trust, value, and have conversations that are important and hard to make sure that people can show up every day, because the majority of students in my class today did not come to school.
What do you do with that? You should be mad at the people who are getting the kids so spun up. You shouldn't be mad at ICE. Be mad at the adults who've spun up a kid so much that, as you say, they could run through the hallway one day crying, saying, "I don't want to get killed or have my family taken." Really ask yourself, genuinely, and I don't mean to laugh at your insane sort of indoctrinated state you're in, which is probably an issue for therapy. But, I mean, really ask yourself, if you care about the health and well-being of kids, should we try to, like, lower the temperature for them? Should we maybe try to shield them in a way from adult issues and adult politics and adult concerns, and not in classrooms and at home talk about how President Trump is ripping families from the streets? Remember the Seattle Times story we did a few days ago where they covered community members making whistle kits, and they quoted this mother who was saying that she told her daughter, "You're safe, but brown kids aren't." And it's like, why would you say that to your child? Why would you put, even if as an adult, and I believe that you feel that way, you've watched too much MSNBC, I get it, but why would you put that on a child? I remember we talked way back when Trump was reelected, and there was that mom that filmed herself crying and crying. And then she tells her kids, and the kid's like, "Why are you sad, mommy?" And they said, "Did Kamala win the day after the election?" And she said, "No." And they said, "Did Trump?" And they burst into tears. Why would you ever put that on a child? In all seriousness, you can be unhinged about Trump and immigration enforcement for all I care. As adults, go out and do your thing, whatever you want to do. But don't put it on a kid. And you might say, "Well, Brandy, have you looked at the internet today? Kids are not immune from this. ICE is attacking children as well. Children are part of it, whether they want to be or not." Because there's this story going around. This is from NPR News in Minneapolis. ICE detains 5-year-old Minnesota boy. School leader says agents used him as bait. And it has a picture of the boy right there. It's just a little boy, and he's got his little floppy hat on. And it looks so sad. I get it. It looks so sad. It says, and this is an actual news agency in Minneapolis. The Columbus Heights Public School District says federal agents have detained 4 of its students in 4 separate incidents over the last 2 weeks. One child is a 5-year-old boy who attends a district elementary school and was used as bait to draw family members out of their home. They say masked agents apprehended, this is the words there, apprehended 5-year-old Liam Conejo Ramos in his driveway on Tuesday as he returned home from school with his father. Agents later took the father and child away in a vehicle and sent them to Texas. And so the left sees this, they hear the narrative from the news, and they melt down. Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of our state: "This is so horrific. Detaining a 5-year-old boy and using him as bait? What kind of monsters are these ICE agents? I cannot believe this is America. Hillary Clinton, enforcing the law is one thing. Terrorizing a population, using children as pawns is another. My heart aches for Liam Ramos and his family." And look, if it were true, I'd have a big problem with it too. If they'd apprehended a 5-year-old, I'd have a big problem with it too. But of course, we know that like 99.9% of these sorts of narratives end up to be fake phonies. And people don't fact check. We've done fact checks of them ourselves. So the second I saw it, I said, that's not what happened. I just knew. It's shocking to me that people can look at that with no criticality and think, yeah, that happened for sure. It's not what happened. So U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement said it's an abject lie. They say the child was abandoned by his father, a criminal illegal alien from Ecuador who fled from our officers. Our officers ensured the child was safe. And then they responded to the Hillary Clinton saying, "My heart aches for Liam Ramos. Does your heart also ache for the thousands of families who have lost loved ones to violent criminal illegal alien murderers? You haven't tweeted about those angel families once." But it didn't matter that ICE had been out there saying that's not what happened. They said they tried to apprehend the father. The father fled on foot, just left the 5-year-old behind with the ICE agents. So what do you want the ICE agents to do in that situation? So they're not seen as apprehending the child. Do you want to let him just wander off into the icy street and say, well, we can't take him into our custody because then people will accuse us of kidnapping a 5-year-old. So let's just let him stay in the street where his father abandoned him. No, they were like, we're going to make sure you're okay. Your dad just ran from us. And you might say, well, Brandy, that's ICE's version of events. And you're right. That's what ICE says happened. But ask yourself, what really makes more sense? That ICE apprehended this cute little boy with his hat? Or that his criminal illegal alien father from Ecuador was scared about being deported, so he ran away from the cops? Ask yourself, who's lied more? Whose narratives have been debunked more? The left or ICE's? Come on now, we're using our brains here. But it didn't matter that ICE put out the real information about this. Mayor Jacob Frey, doesn't even matter, I don't even care. 5 years old, this is a child, not a threat to our community. When the federal government treats kids like criminals, something has gone seriously wrong. And then again, ICE responded with the real story and said lies like these from elected officials such as yourself put our officers at greater risk of attack, and they do. And I'll say on the whole, it's still sad. It's sad that his dad put him in that position. And what do you think happens, by the way, when a U.S. citizen commits a crime or flees from officers when they have their kid with them? Officers don't abandon the kid. They take the kid, try to figure out, what are we going to do? Well, we're figuring out what to do with the parent. So, I mean, it's just insane. And it's really sick at this point. The depths they're going to make kids scared and terrified and then pushing narratives like this. And then you've got these people who, you know, watch what they watch on TikTok and Instagram, and their algorithm feeds them more and more of it. And they watch MSNBC and they go out there with their whistle kits and they drive into an ICE agent and get shot and killed. We're acting surprised by it all. Use your brains. Not you guys, you know. Use your brains. Good grief. All right, we'll get to a great episode of Florida Report coming up next. Check in on what's happening in the Florida legislature and a little beef between a Republican candidate for governor and an OnlyFans model over taxation. Fascinating. First, if you're thinking about selling your home in 2026, get an early start. Even if you're thinking spring, summer, reach out now to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com, because it's going to be a good thing to just get a lay of the land. So the market's constantly changing, and Wes can help you with that. He can do a free market analysis, just let you know kind of down to the neighborhood level, what you can expect, what homes are selling for, what you might need to do to your home, how long it might take to sell your home. And then you can make a plan from there. If you need to make some cosmetic upgrades, you know, Wes will suggest what he thinks is going to be worth it. And he can manage all that for you. He can manage the project so you can just go about your life. He can even make it so you don't have to pay for it until closing. Mark B. gave Wes Jones 5 stars, said, "All I can say, very smooth experience, just what I was hoping for." Seriously, who describes selling their home as a very smooth experience? I like never hear that. So he's saying this was a very smooth experience. We had to sell my mom's house and it needed a little bit of prep, new carpet, paint, yard work. None of us lived nearby, and Wes, Erica, and the team took care of it all. We got asking price and it sold the first weekend. Mark B. Love that so much. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. A better way to sell your home. Man, this is a good show today. Don't you agree?
Yeah, having a blast. Just so much going on. It's crazy. I love when they're in session because then...
Oh, all it's sorts endless. Of crazy stuff. I love when they're in session, but I also hate it because I know that we cannot stop the insane train. We can only try. Mm-hmm. But yes, good content, job stability. All right, let's get to our comments from the live stream today. And I'm sorry I didn't do a Daily Show poll. We were fitting in that Puyallup wrestling story at the very last minute and had to get that done. So I had to prioritize it. All right, read a couple comments. We'll come back to Florida Report. SEIU outed as initiative fraudsters. Malibu Girl says that information needs to be sent to that whole committee that's going to be making a decision on this bill. Oh, I agree. They need to know that the people, SEIU, they're the ones perpetrating fraud on the initiative. So maybe we should, I don't know, let's introduce a bill keeping the unions out of the initiative process. Looking Up for Jesus says, focusing on initiatives rather than properly educating children. Washington is so cooked. I agree. The only bills that the WEA should be in Olympia advocating for are bills to improve education. Not these sorts of things. The bill banning ICE agents from future employment. Eric says, yes, Swalwell is the one that got caught with the Chinese spy. I knew it was one of them. Axro9M, Tara Simmons is in trouble with the PDC. I heard that. The Democrats in Tara Simmons' own district are out to get her and like filed this PDC complaint. So it's kind of interesting. I wonder what's going to happen there. Let's see. Samantha Olson, we haven't talked about this on the show yet, but I heard this story. I don't know if it's 100% true or if he has some excuse, but she said Eric Swalwell can't run for governor because he doesn't live in California, which then makes you wonder why he can't rep them and why he can rep them in Congress. So there was this report that came out that he has his home is in D.C. and the address he used to register to run for governor of California is an office building for his attorney in California.
See, that's a weird part, but a lot of Congress people have houses in D.C., so that makes sense. I'm also just wondering if he didn't want his address out there.
I'm sure he's come out. I just haven't. I'm reading this comment, and so I haven't gone and looked, but I'm sure he's come out and explained, you would think. All right. The Greek heel, totally insane, putting that out there for votes, completely against the law to discriminate because of a job someone has held in the past. Okay, on the Puyallup Girls Fighting Back, Merwin Wren. So a 190-pound man can beat the stuffing out of a 150-pound female and shower with her afterwards? On what planet is acceptable? Well, I will say, in theory, the 190-pound boy would be wrestling against a 190-pound girl, not a 150-pound girl. Mia Castro, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I do too. I would rather be talking about anything else. I would rather be talking about anything else, but it's so stupid I can't move on until it's done. Because it's just really about whether are going to have any relationship with reality as a country. Ken, this transgender thing is out of hand. Put 10 men and 10 transgender women on an island. Then put 10 biological men and 10 biological women on an island. In 100 years, the island with the biological men and women will have a thriving community. The island with the biological men and the trans women, they will find skeletons of 20 men.
Right.
Yes, 100%.
I do wonder, because it definitely seems like this 90, I mean, every day it seems like it's a 90-10, a 95-5 issue. But they're doubling down. I'm like, did somebody call and threaten their children? Did somebody call and threaten them? Like, it makes no sense to double down on this and not see some form of, yes, we care about all children and we're worried about all of their mental health.
Yeah.
But this is what makes sense.
Well, right. And it's like when I say it's a 90-10 issue, the 10% must all be here. Must be like all of them live in our state.
They probably do. Well, I think people just get guilted. They get guilted so easily and told that their children will die if they don't affirm their gender.
Yeah.
And I get that they're just fear-mongering.
Ideological. It's just crazy. On Sheriff Keith Swank accused of threatening lawmakers. CP, this guy's testimony was awesome. Salty said, no flack here, Brandy. He's spot on. Late night with Tina. Sheriffs are truly the public's last input into law enforcement, and they have a mission to enforce laws throughout a county and should be independent from other elected official jurisdictions. And it just shows you that Democrats, they'll never be, and this is probably parties as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. But in our state, we see it with Democrats. I'll say it a million times. The reason I'm so hard on Democrats is they're in control of everything. What use would it be if I used my job in our state to be hard on Republicans who don't make any decisions? What a waste of time that would be. But Nicole's like, no, don't say that. Yes, no, it is. It'll be a waste of time. But Democrats already have so much power, but they need more. So they're always trying to initiative process. Let's get rid of anything that we don't control.
Mm-hmm.
Elected sheriffs, initiative process. It's scary stuff. And so Keith Swank's response, I think, reflects the urgency of the situation. Dems voting against a bill to protect kids from fentanyl. Don, and most Democrats voted for it. Let me just be clear. It was those 9 who were like, no, I don't think so.
Frame, I was really surprised about her as
are
well.
Are you, though?
Well, I mean, just mostly things that Chapman. I've heard about her. Yeah. And some of our friends are friends with her and say that she's fairly normal.
Yeah.
So I don't get it.
Then you get down there and you can't be normal in the Capitol building. On yesterday's story about lockdowns, Bill Biz with a nice super chat. Thank you. Don't you just love the overreaction of six Washington schools announcing shelter in place action due to rumored ICE activity? No political agenda there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple other super chats will fit in. Lil Miss J, this is my support for Nicole. Much respect and love to you. Keep teasing Brandy and Mike. Boop. You teasing my husband?
I know. Well, not often.
I know. Everybody loves my husband. He's unteasable. Old Sub Sailor.
Mike that she's talking about?
I don't know. Amazing how confident.
Hard to tease. He's just too sweet.
He is too sweet, isn't he? I really lucked out with that one. Amazing how confident Washington leftist politicians are in their positions. They don't have boundaries or accountability. How can we possibly overcome this? We just keep grinding. We keep doing what we're doing, mm-hmm. and we sleep when we're dead. Okay? We sleep when we're freaking dead. Nicole?
Yes.
Do we have Florida Report?
We have it.
Okay. Let's check in on what's happening in the Sunshine State. It is our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore. People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Miranda, hello.
Hello.
The race for Florida governor is well underway. I'm going to be sad to see Ron DeSantis go. I think we'll have to change the intro to Florida Report.
Yeah, we will.
It probably needs to be updated because, like, I made that when I was doing the show, still out of my house, I think, and was doing everything myself and had no idea how to do anything. So it's kind of corny, but I kind of like it. I want to keep like some of those OG things of the show, like our unbelievable opening. I mean, it's like... It's so amateur, but I kind of love it.
I love them. I really do.
But we will have to replace Ron DeSantis, sadly, and maybe President Trump at some point. Anyway, I digress. So there is a Republican candidate for Florida governor who has kind of a wild idea. Explain it, and then we'll play his clip.
Yeah, so one of the points that he's running on is to impose what he's calling a sin tax, which would tax people that are in the industries like OnlyFans, 50% of their income to the state.
Right. And his name is?
James Fishback.
Okay, let's hear him.
Men have been told for far too long that they are guilty of masculinity, that they are guilty of all of society's ills. I'm not going to stand for that slanderous lie. If you're an OnlyFans model and you reside in Florida, get ready to pay 50% of your income to the state. I don't want young women who could otherwise be mothers, raising families, rearing children. I don't want them to be selling their bodies to sick men online. We will raise hundreds of millions of dollars of income on the OnlyFans sin tax. And if we don't, Joel, if we don't raise that income, you know what it'll mean? It will mean something even greater has materialized for the young women and young men of our state.
Okay. I get it, right? Let's hear from, there's a really popular, I'm not on OnlyFans. I know that might break your hearts, of course. Everybody wants to see naked pictures of me, I'm sure, right at the top of their list. I don't have an account to peruse, but this is what's this OnlyFans model's name?
Yeah, so James had taken in his advertisement that he put out, you know, pushing this conversation on X, he had called out specifically Sophie Rain, who is an extremely successful OnlyFans creator, content creator here in Florida. She brings anywhere from $3 to $6 million a month. And some years she's brought in like $40 to $50 million.
Oh my gosh. So she would have to pay 50% of that to the state of Florida. She responded.
Never in my whole life did I think that I would wake up and see a Florida politician trying to start beef with me for clout. So he's proposing a sin tax on VOPs where we would have to pay 50% to the state on top of the 37 I already paid to the government. And I would be more than happy to pay that if multi-billion dollar corporations were also being properly taxed. But surprise, they're not. I never usually get into politics, but there are clearly better ways to raise funds from actual corrupt businesses in our country. I think that people also fail to realize that there are so many creators on this platform that do this job because they're struggling. So to tax them like that when they're literally doing it just to support their families is sad. I would much rather continue donating directly to people in need because we all really know where our tax dollars go.
Well, I don't disagree with her on that point. First of all, I'm vehemently opposed to this. Do I want women selling their bodies online to creepy dudes and probably creepy women? Of course not. But it is totally contrary to conservative principles to target out someone for taxation based on success because of what they want to do as a freedom-loving American.
Yeah, I fully agree. And, you know, it's like what she said, you're going to come after these content creators for making that much money, but like not corporations and making sure corporations are being taxed in the same way simply because of the amount of money they make. And she's also right about not all these OnlyFans models make the type of money she's making. Mm-hmm. So like, it's not like he's proposing that there's like a threshold, like you have to make this much or more, and then it's 50%. Some people are really just not making like maybe a livable wage on there. And imagine getting 50% of your money taken away just because you are an OnlyFans model.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, society is sick. But also on the corporations point she's trying to make, corporations contribute far more in terms of job creation and all these things. She's not creating any jobs. I don't think she has a harem of other OnlyFans creators who she's ushering through this world. So yeah, I mean, I don't like what she's doing, but she's an adult and she's free to do it if she chooses to do it. And targeting her out for taxation is something that liberals would do. So don't like it. Yeah, all right, same. Let's check in on the Florida state legislature. While Democrats in our state are vehemently opposed to even looking into fraud, despite ample evidence of it, in Florida, where they already have good, solid fraud protections, they're trying to make them even better.
Yeah, this bill that was proposed is specifically kind of keeping an eye and checks and balances on unemployment benefits. We already have some of the most stringent unemployment requirements in the whole country here in Florida. And we also pay out the least weekly than most states do. But this bill is going to take that a step farther and also make sure that they're keeping an eye on people collecting it. So every 2 weeks, there has to be a follow-up to make sure people aren't, you know, deceased, in jail, or employed while they're still collecting unemployment. And it would also require people collecting unemployment to contact 5 employers a week. They have to appear for 3 scheduled job interviews. And if they were temporarily laid off from a job and that job reaches back out to them, they have to take that job back. Otherwise, they'll lose their unemployment benefits.
I love it all. And that sounds like maybe a lot, 3 interviews a week. I mean, I wonder what the like, what if you don't get any job interviews? So I guess I would need to know a little bit about that because, you know, that's possible. I think 3 a week is pretty tough. But at the same time, it's not meant to be some sort of long-term thing. And keeping the system healthy for the people who need it, who are doing all the right things, it really should be non-controversial. Yeah. Let's end with a fun Florida man one. This one's, I don't know what happened here. And I don't even know that the government knows what happened here. So this boat captain is caught selling a bunch of cocaine, but they don't think he's like a drug trafficker. They think he just found it.
Yeah. So he's a charter boat captain out of the Florida Keys. And he was caught trying to sell a kilo to an undercover detective. And so when they searched his property, they ended up seizing like 23 kilos of cocaine, his 38-foot boat, $8,000 in cash and a handgun. But they allege that he found this cocaine floating adrift out at sea while he was out, and he just collected it and decided to sell it.
Finders keepers. I'd rather him take it than the sharks, you know, get it and have all those cocaine sharks. But I wonder if this was, you know, some cocaine that was part of a boat bombing or something like that. Possible. But they do this, you know, often. You were telling me that they often sort of not abandon ship, but abandon cocaine if they think that somebody's coming for them.
Yeah, if they think someone's coming for them, they'll drop the cocaine in the water and change directions. And then sometimes they will also drop the cocaine or the drugs in the water so that the next person can come and get it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an exchange place. But we hear stories literally monthly in Florida, like millions of dollars of cocaine are found just washing up on shore, found out at sea by jet skiers, found when people are out on cruise ships. So like, it is not uncommon, but it is uncommon for somebody to keep it and try to sell it.
Yeah. That's why the Florida Keys is such a happy place. That's why they party all night, because they're all high on cocaine they found at sea. All right, Miranda, thank you so much.
Have a good weekend.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Meow. Meow. What would you do with the cocaine if found it at sea? I'd just leave it there and be like, that's none of my business. Definitely, I won't even alert anyone. I'd be like, just keep floating, buddy. Definitely wouldn't take it and try to sell it. No, I don't think drug trafficker is in my veins. All right, are we in a tech bubble or an AI bubble? Neither, both. Do you have questions about it? Our friend Zach Abraham, you still have a week to sign up for his New Year Reset live webinar. It's happening January 29th at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. During it, Zach will discuss the impact AI could have on the 2026 market, how Bulwark Capital is focused on risk management, and how they incorporate value-based principles in managing retirement portfolios. Plus, they'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. I know Mike and I already dream of our retirement every day, although we're quite a few years away from it. Schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review. Sign up for that New Year Reset live webinar and subscribe to Zach's Daily Market Recap, all at knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. We do have a little breaking story I want to fit in here really quick, if it's okay. We just talked about that bill that had bipartisan support to make sure that it is a crime in Washington state to expose your child or any child to fentanyl, engrossed substitute Senate Bill 5071 that for some reason nine Democrats voted against. Very bizarre. But we were just alerted to the fact that Attorney General Nick Brown put out a statement this morning saying he supports the bill. Kids in our state are at serious risk from exposure to fentanyl or synthetic opioids in the home, and we've seen harm come to children because of this. Senate Bill 5071 is a common sense approach that makes it a crime to expose a child to these dangerous drugs. Thank you to Senators Braun and Dingra for working together to update our laws to protect children and ensure accountability. Is that really so hard? Why do we go through a whole year of debating this and not being able to pass it? It makes so much sense. So credit to Attorney General Nick Brown, who I don't often give credit to, for supporting that bill as if it's controversial. But hopefully that'll help get it across the finish line. And I think it does help not just to vote on the floor, but to come out and make public statements like that, saying, yeah, we need to protect kids from fentanyl. Let's just do this. So we'll see eventually how long it takes to get it through. But I think this is probably one that'll head to Governor Ferguson's desk for his signature, and kids will be safer for it. One other quick thing. I did this little poll because I failed all of you and didn't put out a subscriber show poll. So to our subscribers, I apologize. Although Sunday night, I'm doing a live Q&A with subscribers. You'll get a notification of that. That'll be really fun. But I asked folks on YouTube, are you a paid subscriber to Undivided? Because you can subscribe on YouTube, but it's not a paid platform. So are you a paid subscriber on Patreon, Locals, or X? 54% said no. 54% what? Of the people watching this show right now, all our good stuff that we go out and bird dog for you and tell the truth on and expose, 54% said no. It's just $5 a month. And it's actually less than that if you subscribe for a whole year. You get a nice little deal that you prepay for a year. So we're going to change that today. I'll try that poll again in a couple weeks or even next week. Because 54%, unacceptable. Unacceptable. I still love you, but unacceptable. So you just go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and then there's a banner that says support the show for $5. Click on it, off to the races. So let's get that number
just
down.
Do it.
Let's get that number down. I hate selling the show. I'm a horrible business owner. Like, I just do it, and I'm like, people will come support us, you know, and they do. And we have so many wonderful subscribers and advertisers and all of that. But, you know, marketing is a thing that maybe we should engage in more often and make sure that people are coming and finding us and helping support us so we can grow. So maybe I just need to put my pride aside and do a little more proactive marketing of the show.
And we need your help.
Yeah, that's how we grow. I mean, we're growing already. Miranda's doing all this social. It's been so great to get some, you know, more consistency and have somebody doing that full time so we don't have to worry about it, which has been nice. And that's thanks to our paid subscribers. So we absolutely appreciate it. All right, we'll get to our closing sanity check from local comedian Jeff Dye, why he says that he doesn't claim Seattle as his home anymore. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington today. RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. They are Washington's trusted resource and power housing providers, and they help you on a few fronts. This time of year, they're down in Olympia advocating on your behalf, but also they help you navigate all the new rules, regulations, rent control. If you have any questions at all, RHA can help you as a member. So they're going to make sure you got the right paperwork, everything's in order, you're not running afoul of local, county, or state law. So it's just nice to have someone in your corner to make sure that you're keeping up with things, but then you're doing everything right at a time when it is so, so hard to be a landlord in Washington. So RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, comedian Jeff Dye is from the Seattle area, but he was on a podcast explaining why, you know, the downfall and the decline of Seattle and how he doesn't like to just tell people he's from Seattle anymore. He's gets more specific than that.
I was born in Kent, Washington, a little blue-collar town south of Seattle, Washington. From there, I moved up to Seattle after high school to become a comedian, and that's what I've been ever since.
Was Seattle as mental as it is now?
No, it wasn't. And that's why I used to love Seattle my entire life and why I still root for their sports teams. But now I'm always like, I'm from Kent, I'm not from Seattle. It's because Seattle was artistic and, like, fun. And, like, we had all these hippies. We had all these weirdos. We had all these, like, progressives and artists. They were all the things you see now, but they were nice about it. They were hippies. Mm-hmm. They weren't angry hipsters. Now those same types are very angry and very political and very socialist. It's the same stuff, but angry. And that's what I don't like.
Like before, I always wanted to go to Seattle. MP, now you're like, will I get killed?
It feels militant. I remember being a young, straight, white guy, seeing like those progressives and the artists and the poets and the comedians and musicians and thinking, I want to be like them. Yeah. Now I see them and I want to cross the street. I'm annoyed by them. And so that's the only difference. They don't feel like something I want to be a part of anymore.
I love Jeff Dye, and I totally get it. Yeah, so if you're not from Seattle proper, maybe rep Kent. I think that's great. Kent, much better option. So that has been our closing sanity check, and somebody just reminded me, Brandy, there's a Seahawks game on Sunday. I'm sorry.
I was thinking that,
okay,
but
I apologize. I know it's going to be over early, but I don't want a bunch of drunk. I don't want to be drunk on this. Okay, so I'm going to maybe pick Monday or Tuesday. I'll pick a better day. I'm sorry. I'm not. Here's the reality. Can I say
no,
this
I'm, like, wearing the shirt.
Really quick? Am I allowed to say this? I'll ask for forgiveness later. I don't give two you-know-whats about the Seattle Seahawks until they come out and publicly apologize to our late friend Dory Monson. Well, that's the truth.
Well, the thing is, I feel good about Pete Carroll being fired. And really, there's not a lot of people left that were unsupportive of him.
So. Yeah, but at the same time, like, they owe that organization. And if you don't know the story, like, he said something totally non-controversial and they fired him from the post-game, pre- and post-game show. Something that today, mm-hmm. nobody would even bat an eyelash at. Like, boys can't be girls. Okay? They owe him and his memory a public apology for what they did to him. And I genuinely, yes, I hold a grudge. And if you're my friend and somebody wrongs you, I'm going to hold a grudge for you as well, even after you have left this world of ours. Mm-hmm. So I literally, I cheer for their demise. So I hate to say it. Sorry. So that's why I wasn't thinking about the Seahawks game on Sunday, as Nicole, total traitor over here, is wearing a Seahawks shirt.
I did not do this during the time Pete was still there.
Nobody still there. Maybe holds the grudge as deeply as I do, but I'm very upset by it.
It's fair.
Anyway,
it's fair.
So we'll come up with a different day. That has been, hopefully it's okay that I say that, but they owe him a public apology. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here, subscribers. We will see you on Sunday. And also, this week marks the return of our show, Politics Unpacked. So we package up each week of the legislative session a nice little 10 minutes so you can get through everything that happened this week and not sweat it. So we will have that returning this week and every week of the legislative session. So you can look forward to that. And then, of course, Sundays with subscribers on Sunday. And for the 54% of you watching live who say you are not a paid subscriber, how dare you, I say. How dare you? UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Help us restore sanity. Destroy failed outlets like the Seattle Times. All the things for just $5 a month. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Non-subscribers, we'll see you back here on the live show Monday at noon.